Will Lowry. Will, it's good to talk with you, man. Now I know exactly what you did to me last week. I didn't know what you were doing. I said, last week you and I communicate via text, and you said, I just want to wait till Monday. So you had it all planned this weekend that Baylor was going to beat Kansas State and Oregon was going to get taken down by Stanford. You planned it where you could talk about this on a Monday, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I had predicted this all along and was planning on coming in to tell you all about it.
I'm just teasing with you. Will, it's good to see you, man. Thanks so much. You won two national titles, one SEC championship for the University of Alabama, just up the road from Hoover, Alabama, and had a chance to play. And we're going to talk with him hopefully a couple of different segments here and talk some Alabama football. What was your reaction when you saw that the overtime game, Stanford had taken out Oregon, and then Baylor able to knock out Kansas State?
I guess like everybody else, just kind of, it was just pandemonium. I mean, I never would have guessed it would happen. Again, just perfectly the stars aligned for us, and especially just so suddenly in 1 week, 1-2 just go down just like that. But, I mean, it just kind of seemed as the night wore on that it might be a special night.
Do you feel like that maybe we were talking about this in the first hour where you get humbled down a little bit? Because this time last week, we were talking about, well, I mean, the SEC championship really does mean something. But now you get a replay, a redo, a mulligan in Goff. You get a chance now to defend. Is that motivation? Do you think that's focus for the football team to go back out, take care of business against Auburn, and then go play Georgia and play the play-in game for the national title?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, last year when we lost to LSU, it was just heartbreak. You know, as much time and energy and effort that you put in here, and the expectations, you know, are national championships every year, especially nowadays. And you know, when you have a loss like that and things start looking like it's a really long shot to make it, it's easy to get discouraged. And then, you know, when something like this happens and you just get put right back into it, I mean, yeah, you really feel how special the opportunity is and how fortunate you are to be there.
We're going to go back and we're going to talk about Alabama, Kansas State, Oregon. What does it feel like to be the best team in college football? And for just some length of time, even though the polls didn't show us that, Oregon was the best team in college football. It didn't last very long. I don't know if someone whispered in their ear that, by the way, Kansas State's got beat. But it really didn't matter. 1-2, Oregon had some roads or some hurdles that they had to get over. Let's go back and look at Western Carolina. You're coming off of a loss at Texas A&M, 29-24. A lot of your goals, because be honest, we define goals in Tuscaloosa as winning championships, and a lot of those goals were sort of washed away with Texas A&M. But you were able to rebound, and it seemed like the team was really quite focused initially in this ballgame and really knock out Western Carolina. And that's not a great football team, but it's good to see that team refocused and re-energized to take a commanding lead early in that football game.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of credit goes to the coaches because games like that, that's when you really see what the coaches are made of and see how they can get a team to respond. You know, Coach Saban's going to have no trouble getting the team ready to play Auburn this weekend. I mean, as a player, those are the games you want to play in, the big games. You're going to get yourself ready for those games. But when you play the non-conference games, the teams that are not very good, and like you said, they weren't good at all. I had a number of guys that were on the team telling me that this was the worst team that they'd ever seen on film. And so, I mean, for them to come out and be focused and take care of business like that, it said a lot about them and them and their maturity and them growing up over the course of the season.
Will Lowry here talking some Alabama football and understands what it takes to call himself a national champion because he was able to do that twice at the University of Alabama, won SEC championship just up the road from Hoover, Alabama. One of the questions that we wanted to talk about, and we're going to make it to the Iron Bowl, I promise, because being an Alabama guy, born right here in the state, you understand what it's like to be a part of that game and to play in those games. No doubt a lot of fun. But I want to go back to Kansas State for just a minute. Maybe we put too much emphasis on the middle side of football. But when Kansas State, all week long, Alabama loses to Texas A&M, from that point forward, you heard about how great Kansas State was. Sometimes it's hard for teams to handle that mental component of being the best in college football. And it was obvious they didn't know how to handle it on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here we're used to the expectation every year, and we're used to being in the top tier of the rankings every year and having a target on our back. I mean, that just comes with it as part of the territory. But when teams like that, you know, they have success and, you know, they come from the bottom of the rankings or the underdogs, and then once they get to the top, you know, they start looking down and it's easy to slip.
looking at that mental side of the game, and not only are they the best team in college football, Baylor was really not supposed to play with them. I mean, you know, you look at early on in that game, 14-7 into the first quarter. Then we went 28-17. Kansas State, at that point, you thought was stealing a little bit of momentum. It came out second half. Baylor answered 24 third quarter points very quick. What is the mental side of the game? That maybe, you know, when you're playing a team, you go back, and I hate to talk about losses, but going up against South Carolina when we thought that we were the best team in college football, and South Carolina really, you know, motivated to play us, and they were able to take advantage of maybe that mental side of sort of letting that best team in the country go to your head a little bit.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of difference in those two games, and that, I mean, if we play that game 10 times over, we're probably going to beat South Carolina 9 out of 10 times. I mean, we were a better team than them that year. It was just kind of a perfect storm. And, you know, they just played extremely well. And who was it? Steven Garcia just had the game of his life.
Oh, it was the game of his life.
It's
the one he'll tell his grandkids about, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we just kind of, like you say, got caught up in all. But I think with Kansas State, I mean, I didn't get to watch too much of the game, but, I mean, it sounds like they just got outclassed.
It just, you know, Baylor confused them. We're talking about a defense that was not highly thought of, and they really slowed down Klein and, you know, the offensive attack from Kansas State. But looking at another component, did you watch a little bit of the Stanford football game? And seemed like you look at Stanford, but I think the biggest part of it is when you knew that it was overtime and you knew that the field had been shortened because Oregon really takes advantage of the quick throws and, you know, the deep balls that they were able to connect with, and they were able to connect with them earlier that game. But once it went to overtime, what does that 25-yard line do for high-explosive offenses like Oregon that you sort of got another defender at the back of that end zone?
Yeah, I mean, when a team like Oregon gets to overtime, I mean, I fully expected them to pull it out. I mean, just all the explosiveness they have. I mean, when you shorten the field like that, it really puts a burden on the defense to make plays. And I mean, I was as shocked as anybody. I just don't see how it all fell together like that.
Alabama and Auburn. What does it mean for a guy that understands, grew up watching? Let me get something straight here before anything. You never pulled for the team across the state, right? Did you ever take a visit across the state?
Not for a second. I've never raised a hand for the other side.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that you know, we got that clear. So you've never been...
Never on the dark side.
Never on the dark side. You've always been on the good side. Okay. So what is it like? I mean, playing for the University of Alabama, growing up, appreciating what that game means to many of us here in this state, what's it like to be a part of the Iron Bowl?
It's just a real blessing. I mean, like you say, growing up in the state, going to the games, I mean, you really understand the magnitude and how much it means to people in the state. And, you know, for the last couple of years before my freshman year here, I mean, it was getting pretty old seeing all the Auburn fans waving the thumb at you and hearing it over and over. And it was pretty bad. But luckily we were able to restore the order. And my junior year, you know, the first year I got to play, I mean, it was the biggest game that I'd ever played into that point. And I mean, it was just, it's an experience I'll never forget.
I believe that was, what year would have been when Cam Newton came to Tuscaloosa?
That was it. That was 2010. And like I say, it was the biggest game I ever played in. And I think I can also say that it was one of the hardest losses, if not the hardest loss that I've ever taken in my life in anything. I mean, at one point of the game, Brad Smelly, a good friend of mine, and I on punt return were kind of out there, and it was kind of early on, and we had just jumped all over them. I mean, we were just rolling through them, and we were just kind of looking at each other like, is this real? This is the best feeling ever, just kicking their butts up and down the field. And for them to come back like they did, I mean, it was, when the game was over, we were just stunned, and it was one of the lowest points of my life, for sure.
I hate uplifting this guy, but we've been talking about Cam Newton for many years here, and you've had a chance to go up against some great quarterbacks. Where would you rank Cam Newton? Best player you ever had a chance to go up against?
Best quarterback I ever got to play against, for sure. I mean, his from a physical standpoint, I mean, it's just hard to explain the combination of size and speed and power. I mean, I know it gets talked about all the time, but I mean, I got to tackle him one time in the game, and when I went down to tackle him, I was at his hip real quick. I mean, he was twice my size. I mean, he's just huge. And for him to have the ability to run and to also pass, and the way that it carried over to the NFL, I mean, he's just an impressive football player.
Cam Newton was able to beat Alabama the last time they played inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. Looking at this football game, how hard would it be as a player not to get distracted, looking and getting caught up with Auburn 3-8? And what's that message like that Nick Saban would probably take to his football team and say, listen, you got to look at the next game? Is that really a message that he sends? Don't focus on Georgia, because if you don't beat Auburn, there is no Georgia. Texas A&M will go from the SEC West, and they'll go to Atlanta and have a chance to compete for SEC championships. How do you send that message to your players that it is all about Auburn this week?
I really don't think that they're going to have a problem with that. If we were playing an opponent like like Western Carolina or somebody like that, I mean, it would be easy to look ahead. But Auburn, I mean, as bad as they are, it's still the Iron Bowl. I mean, I don't think he's going to have trouble getting them ready, and I think they'll be ready, and I think they'll be ready to take care of some business on Saturday.
How hard is it, you talked about emotional game, how hard is it to control your emotions? Because you realize what this game means to so many folks, including, players. I mean, this is one that you get bragging rights for 52 weeks. You get it to look at possibly your friend or maybe friends that you went to high school with that maybe still are still down on the plains. How hard is it not to get tied up in the emotional side of this game?
It is hard. I mean, anytime you play in a big game, it's easy to let your emotions play a part and to kind of overtake sometimes. And I've seen it happen with a lot of guys. And especially in a game like that, it's even harder. I mean, Alabama-Auburn it just means so much, especially to people that grew up in the state and understand it. To play against them, it's definitely hard to kind of harness that. But Coach Saban does a great job of keeping the focus where it needs to be.
Going back to the Texas A&M game, and Martin Houston talked about it. Now, Martin's going to campaign for running backs to get more carries. Do you feel like that Alabama went away from what they like to do, running the football? And I know a lot of that was due to the big lead that Texas A&M opened up, and it seemed they were able to run the ball, but really not that style of, big man against big man, my line of scrimmage is going to beat your line of scrimmage, and we're going to run the football. Did you feel like in that game that Alabama sort of went away from their style against Texas A&M?
Yeah, we did go away from our bread and butter, which, like you say, is just pounding the ball inside. But, I mean, that's nothing on the coaches. When you get down 20 points, you can't run the ball. I mean, you got to start throwing it. And they just jumped up on us so quick that it just changed the game completely from the first quarter on. And, I've heard a lot of people asking, should we have thrown it, on that last interception when we were on the goal line? And, I mean, that's so easy to say in retrospect. I mean, in 2009, when we were at Auburn, we ran a very similar play to win the game, throwing it to Roy Upchurch. And, I mean, you never heard anybody question that. But since it goes against us, you hear a lot of those questions, and that's just criticism.
And a lot of things that, you expect and the things that we're critical of, really it makes you appreciate the program, because any other program – I doubt the folks in Eugene tonight are really, I mean, it's okay. It's a loss. Yeah, I mean, it's a loss for a chance to play for a national title. But that's what really makes this place so unique is to be able to talk college football 365. They never stop talking about it in May and June and July as we get ready for the upcoming season and rehash everything that happened last year. Seems like that's the fun of Alabama football. And I know, does players, do they pay attention to the media, the guys that sort of write the stories and talk radio junkies like myself? I mean, is that something you try not to get caught up in?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to keep your focus where it needs to be. I mean, you can't be out there on the internet reading stuff about yourself or the team or anything else. I mean, but at the same time, it is hard. You have friends, you have family members, you have everyone is doing it and, talking to you. So you hear it, but you just have to make sure that goes in one ear and goes out the other, and you keep your focus where it needs to be, which is on being a better football player tomorrow than you were today. And Coach Saban just does a really good job of helping the team to block out the clutter and to focus on the task at hand.
Knowing what's at stake, and something I didn't prepare you for prior to the start of the interview, but Thanksgiving holidays, now you guys are so close. Did Coach Saban give you that day off? Or when it's so important that that Auburn's upcoming and then Georgia – the following week, if you're able to win the game against the Auburn Tigers, Did Thanksgiving, is that just another day for Nick Saban?
He has some heart. He lets I can't remember the exact rule.
2 hours, and I'll see you back in.
There's definitely no day off. Absolutely not. They'll have practice just like they always do. They may bump it up an hour or two, and he usually lets the players whose homes are, I think, within an hour or two of Tuscaloosa, he allows them to go home, of course they have to be accountable for being back for the next team function. But they're a close-knit group. I mean, everybody here will be having Thanksgiving dinner with each other, if they can't go home. So it's still a holiday for sure.
What would you tell the guys, being from the state, because you look at the roster and we could go around and look at the guys that are not from this state, maybe from Texas or maybe from as an Alabama guy, did you early on, did you teach them guys about what this game really means to so many folks, or did you really have to? They understand, they're college football fans, obviously. They sort of come in and adopt that mentality of beating the Auburn Tigers.
To be honest with you, I really don't think that when they get here and they're a freshman, I don't think that they grasp the full magnitude of it. But when they get to be junior, senior, they've been in the program and they've been in a part of the game, they start to realize. Because I really do think that Alabama-Auburn is the greatest rivalry in college football. And, I mean, growing up in the state, you realize that. If you come from outside the state, yeah, it's a rivalry. But until you are a part of the game or in the atmosphere or around it, like you say, for 365 and you hear about it, then you really start to understand how much it means to everyone in the state and to yourself on the team. It's a big deal for the Alabama program.
Analyze D. Milliner so far. He's really been a big asset for Nick Saban.
Yeah, he's really come into the player that he can be, and he can be dominant, and you see that. I mean, when he got here, I don't know if we've talked about him when I've been on the show in the past, but I mean, when he first got here, he was one of the early enrollees in the spring. And going through scrimmages, he had a real tough time tackling. And I guess in retrospect, I mean, he was a high school kid, but at the same time, he really struggled with the tackling aspect. And I really didn't, I kind of had my doubts about how he would develop and how he would come out. But I mean, he really worked hard. I watched him work hard the last couple of years. And, you put that together with Coach Saban and his potential, Coach Saban, the best corner coach there is. I mean, he's become one of the, if not the best corner in the nation.
What do you think makes Coach Saban such a great, as you mentioned, corner coach there, defensive backs? Is it a style? Is it a personality? Is it just something he requires of his DBs?
I think style is part of it, but the main thing I would say, I mean, he's just the greatest defensive college football mind there is right now. His schemes and his game plans are second to none, and so are his technique. The techniques that he teaches and the drills that he puts the corners through and the expectation that he demands from them just demands greatness. And when we get top talent like D. Milliner, like Dre Kirkpatrick, you put that together with the greatest coaching and you get the best corners.
Seems like something, I guess, maybe I watch of a lot of Alabama football, try to analyze it. It seems like you guys are really coached to find the football. A lot of group tackling, and I know that's probably coached by every defensive minded, but you guys really, you emphasize that. Even when the ball comes on the ground, I mean, look at the guys that could have picked that football up and took it to the house just like Blue did, but so many guys, I mean, there was nobody going to tackle him because there were so many guys around him. And you guys are coached to do that, I assume.
Yeah, we're coached on every aspect of the game, and that's one of the aspects is turnovers and getting on the ball. I mean, when the ball's in the air and the ball's on the ground, I mean, we it's our ball. That's the way that we look at it. And our coaches do a great job of coaching effort, and we grade loafs. That's what we call not giving full effort, not sprinting to the ball every play. We grade those in scrimmages and keep up with them, and it's negative production points. And so they do a great job of coaching it and demanding it, and it shows on Saturdays when the ball is in the air and when the ball is on the ground. Our guys do a great job of going and getting it.
All right, you're lining up a offense to attack this defense, taking everything into consideration. And you're an offensive coordinator, a guy that makes a game plan. How would you attack Alabama's defense?
This year, I guess you just got to try and throw the ball. We're just too big up front and too well coached to run the ball. And And unless you catch us on an off week or with a bunch of injuries to key guys up front, it's just really hard to consistently run the ball on Alabama's defense for four quarters. And so, I mean, I really think that old Johnny Manziel, I mean, they just kind of had the best approach and the best result, I guess you could say. You know, he just did a really good job of evading the pressure, and it's really hard to cover guys for 5 and 6 and 7 seconds.
You know, we always talk about that. I mean, how important is that defensive line? I mean, that creates, you know, we see defensive backs and those guys get some recognition, but without those guys up front, some of that would not be possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter how good your cover guys are. You can't expect them to guard for longer than 4 or 5 seconds. I mean, when we bring pressure, he did a really good job of finding the seam, you know, and breaking out for runs. And not only that, but even the plays when, you know, the pressure looked like it got to him and he just somehow slips away and extends the play three, four more seconds. I mean, his receivers did a good job of just, you know, rerouting, scrambling and making plays. And that's really what you have to do. I mean, when the pressure doesn't get there and you're in some man blitzes and some of those coverages, I mean, it's just really hard to keep up with those guys.
Will, the music, I believe, is just about to play. But let's pretend that Notre Dame gets beat this weekend, USC. What would the media meltdown be of an all-SEC win or an all-SEC BCS national title?
I don't think they'd let it happen. I think they would find some way to get into the BCS system. I just don't see them letting two SEC teams get in again. Just too much hate.
You know, the hard thing is I'm not able to disagree with you because I think they would find some way to prevent that from happening. Will Lowry's been our special guest. Martin Houston earlier. We'll talk with Travis Ryer, Russ Mitchell tomorrow. A lot of Alabama players as we travel throughout the week. Will, thanks so much for swinging by and talking some football with me, my friend.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.